Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. In Libya, the sudden nationalization of all foreign oil companies has threatened to set off an explosive situation between the Arab world and Western nations in need of Middle East oil. The Middle East has been referred to as the world's most dangerous powder keg. One reporter now states, the sputtering Arab-Israeli dispute and the global energy crisis combine to form a potentially explosive geopolitical mixture. The oil threat caught Washington by surprise. As our ambassador designate to Saudi Arabia explains, the record of government officials, oil experts, and economists in predicting global oil trends is only marginally better than those who foretell the second coming of the Messiah. In other words, the oil crisis is unexpected. With the Arab world using oil as a lever to compel the United States to give up its policy of befriending Israel, it's hard telling where the present crisis will lead. For instance, already our Marines are training in the hot sandy desert. It's not that we'll go to war over oil, but as U.S. News and World Report states, America's crack assault force is sharpening its combat readiness for a possible new kind of crisis. Well, the crisis in the Middle East was brought on by Libya's strongman, Muammar Gaddafi, an unrelenting foe of Israel. Gaddafi has appointed himself as the savior of the Arab world. And thanks to the huge lakes of crude oil that lie beneath the hot Libyan desert, he's a figure to be reckoned with. What's the reason for the recent crisis? Well, it's largely due to America's attitude toward Israel. The Arab world is incensed over the loss of its territories to Israel, and especially the loss of East Jerusalem, which contains the Islam world's third holiest shrine. Evidence, for instance, that the Israelis are tunneling under the Mosque of Omar, located on the site of their ancient temple, is disclosed now in an interview we've had with our tour directors Lee Sexton and Jim Vaughn. We've been asked about the rebuilding of the Jewish temple on several occasions, and here is their comment.
Brother Ray, the Jews are tunneling back underneath the Mosque of Omar now, and we have pictures of this. They have it shored up, and we ask the Jews what's taking place, and they say only that we're cleaning up around the walls and in the temple area, but around Jerusalem, the talk, the general talk among the Arabs is that they're tunneling underneath the mosque to fall, that it might fall. And this is a general talk in Jerusalem now.
Brother Lee, recently upon talking with a friend that returned from Jerusalem, the talk now is rather than the tunnel that's being shored up underneath the Mosque of Omar, under the Dome of the Rock where Abraham offered up Isaac. The old temple area is sacred both to Muslim and to Jew and to Christian. That this tunnel is perhaps all the way through, clear to the other side where the Wailing Wall now is. And of course, you know, by the Wailing Wall, there's excavation that's been going on there since the Six-Day War, where recently they found the stone with a scripture from Isaiah relating that when the person that sees this, that their bones shall rejoice and their hearts shall flourish like the herb. Brother Lee, I believe all of this is bringing on the second coming of the Lord that much sooner as we see these things happening, because, as you know, these tunnels that are being dug underneath this Mosque of Omar could very well bring about the collapse of this temple. As you remember, Brother Lee, on our tour 2 years ago, the God's News tour 2 years ago, that we saw dump trucks going up by the pinnacle of where the old pinnacle of the temple stood, there in the southeastern corner of the wall of Jerusalem, hauling away tons and tons of dirt, where they're excavating away.
Jim, I'm thinking about going to Jerusalem. When I think about going to Jerusalem, it's almost like going to heaven. I'm thrilled right now thinking of it, and our next tour is drawing near, and I'd be thrilled to hear from others who would like to go with us and see what's taking place by now. I'm sure that many things have happened even since we were there just a year ago.
Brother Lee, I'm glad you brought that up. We'll be gone 11 days to Jordan, and then we're going to go down to Petra, this area, the Red Rock City, where many people believe the Jews were going to flee in the wilderness in the Great Tribulation period. And that great city that's cut out of the rock, we'll be visiting there. And we'll be visiting in Jordan, and then we'll go across the Allenby Bridge into Israel and go throughout the Holy Land and visit all the sacred spots and have services there. And what a time we're going to have. And also we'll go by Rome and see the great sights in ancient Rome.
Lee Sexton and Jim Vaughn. Now in Jeremiah chapter 46, mention is made of the day of the Lord, referring to the day of judgment seen coming upon the earth, which ends in Armageddon. A new power has arisen in the Middle East. The country of Libya, ruled over by a fire-eating army colonel, has demanded a merger with neighboring Egypt. "I'm a leader without a country," says Colonel Gaddafi, "and Egypt is a country without a leader." Now, to back up his demands for a merger of Libya and Egypt, Colonel Gaddafi sent a 40,000-man cavalcade of cars and buses from Libya into Egypt in a march on Cairo. So Gaddafi means business. His aim is to unite Egypt and Libya, along with the Arab world, into a united goal, that of the destruction of Israel. Their cry, their lament, is recorded in Psalms 83, where we read, "They've said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Well, Jeremiah describes what will happen in this future day of battle when Egypt and Libya war against Israel. We read, "Egypt riseth up like a flood. His waters are moved like the rivers. He saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots. Let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts." Then the Lord, through his prophet Jeremiah, addresses Israel, saying, "But fear not thou, O my servant Jacob. Be not dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save thee from afar. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished." Now hear me, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible's a book of prophecy that would foretell God's plan for the ages. Especially are we informed concerning the end of this age, when God's purpose is to restore righteousness and peace throughout the earth through the coming reign of Jesus Christ. So what we're seeing today is a part of God's plan being fulfilled, his purposes for this earth. The stage is being set, the scene prepared, the way planned for the coming of our blessed Lord. Now, according to that plan, we're going to see someone leading the Arab world into a victorious conquest, such as we've not witnessed since Israel became a nation. As we all know, Israel has come through every war more strengthened than ever before. But we see here evidence in the Word of God of a battle occurring wherein Libya and Egypt shall rally forces together, rising up like a flood, and saying, "I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof." In other words, Jerusalem will be their target. Now, the reason we believe their plan will be successful is because of what we read in the book of the Revelation. In chapter 11, we see eventually God's two witnesses appearing during the Great Tribulation. We read how they were killed, and their dead bodies are seen lying in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. A reference made here to Egypt in connection with this city of Jerusalem would make us wonder whether Jerusalem will not fall to an invading host, possibly led by Egypt and Libya. Although Jerusalem is now in Jewish hands, it will again be dominated by an invading host of Gentiles, and for 3.5 years, will be under the control of the Gentiles, after which our Lord shall return to reign gloriously upon the earth. Could it be that Libya, by fomenting unrest, initiating an oil crisis among the Arab states, destined to bring destruction to Israel, will bring on these terrible events we've just described? A Libyan spokesman declares, "We don't want Japan, Europe, or America to suffer a cold winter, but neither do we want our oil or its profits to go to the United States, where they are transformed into destructive weapons against us." And so a real crisis is developing. As one USAID has declared, if there is an oil crisis and rationing, the public mood could turn ugly. Well, my friends, what's the hope in this hour? Again, we repeat, it's the coming of Christ, the coming of our blessed Lord. Desperate days we know are ahead. Evidence is first seen in the grain shortage abroad, creating a food crisis. Now the actions of Arab countries are sure to create an energy crisis that could bring hardship and havoc to the whole Western world. Again, we might ask, is this not the forecast for the coming Great Tribulation as recorded in Revelation 6, where a rider on a black horse is seen holding a pair of balances in his hand? A voice is heard saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny," or we might say, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages." Then we read, "See thou hurt not the oil and the wine." So oil, too, we see becoming a scarcity in the days ahead. Were it not for the fact that these days have been predicted, that our Lord has cautioned us not to despair, but to look up and realize our redemption draweth nigh, we might join with those who are puzzled, even frightened, over events. But ours, my friends, is the blessed hope if we know Christ, and we anticipate his soon return. And in order to be ready, we are to be found in him in peace, without spot and blemish, looking for and hastening the day of his coming. Have you received Christ as your Savior and Lord? Is he your hope in this hour? Do you know his love, his power, his forgiveness, his peace, his comfort? Do you know his assurance that you would be ready were he to come yet today? For remember, he hath said, "Be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Well, today's discussion centered around the role Libya is seen playing in the end time is recorded in the scriptures.
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns? Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.